Praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for joining us this morning. And I thank God for this opportunity where I could share some thoughts that were on my heart this past week and in general this past month. And I hope that as I whatever comes from my mouth, that you would listen closely and let it be our prayer that the Holy Spirit illuminates the text and helps us to understand what Jesus is saying here as we dig in. So you might have noticed, if you've listened to me before, is I tend to ask questions, I guess, to get you thinking, because I guess it helps you to relate more to what's being said. So this time I'd like to ask you, seeing how this is the last Sunday, and we finally made it. Woohoo! Who knew? At times, maybe some people thought, how are we going to get through this year, or what's going to happen next? And there was so much uncertainty, right? But here we are at the end, and it's not because of us we're here, but God has brought us here, right? Here to the end. And I just have some questions. How was 2020 for you? Right? In our on Christmas morning, we had some time where we just shared and testified amongst the youths and the preteens, and we were just talking about how 2020 was for us. I guess before I get into like the spiritual side, like just some general questions. Did we reach the goals we set for ourselves? Did we hold to our resolutions? Are we going to make new resolutions in 2021? I remember last year, at the beginning of the year, we were all downstairs in Sunday school, and it was like in one of the toddler or parent rooms, and we were all like around the room, and we were saying, "What is our resolution?" And like, I don't even remember what I said, guys. Did you reach those goals? I had some goals. I had some things I wanted to be doing this year, right? But none of those things actually happened. I wanted to go places. I wanted to enjoy. I want to, you know, be doing some ministry somewhere else, right? But it seems like none of those things happen. But apart from that, how was your relationship with God? Some people, maybe it got better. Some people, maybe it went stale. Others, maybe it was just the same. Or maybe it was like a fluctuation of everything. At times it was high, at times it was low, and at times it was just normal. And you know, because of everything that has happened this year, we've seen a disruption in our daily routines. And I guess it's different for everybody. Some of our essential workers, they didn't really, maybe their disruption was they had to go to work more frequently. They had to, there was more protocols and things they had to follow. It became more stressful, right? And then for other people, their routine was changed in a different way, where things started to happen from home, and we had so much more time on our hands. And I just ask, how did we use this time over this year? For people who had so much time, right? How did we use this time where we were alone to ourselves, where we had more time at home? What did we do? I guess now we're going to leave that right there, and we're going to go to the scriptures. I'm just going to look at Judges because I've been reading it in my own time. And if you look at the book of Judges, right? It comes right after Joshua, and we see what happens in Joshua. Like, you know, Moses passes away, Joshua takes control of Israel, and, you know, they conquer so many places. They defeat so many kings, and they win so many wars, right? And it seems like, wow, God, you're finally bringing the Israelites where they need to be, to the promised land. And it's like, and, you know, Joshua ends, the book of Joshua ends, and they've conquered so much, but they haven't conquered everything, right? And it's like, it said that they still have to conquer some more. And that's when we reach to Judges, right? And we see here the land is divided, okay? It seems that everything is going good. They finally reached the promised land after everything they've gone through from Egypt till now. But then we see something. Even though God brought them here and God fulfilled his promise, they didn't keep their side of the deal. See, God made a covenant with them. If we look at the Torah and just what Moses says before Joshua was given the power, he repeats all the commands that they should follow. Some specific commands that the Israelites failed to follow when we look at Judges is casting out the people of the land, fully like drawing them out. And you know, when it comes to certain things like idol worship, these are areas that they specifically failed. You know, since they didn't push all the people out of the land, those people started to influence their culture, the way they lived. They started to take on their God. So this became something like a very big problem in Israel. They gave into sin. And because they did not uphold their side of the deal, God said this: if you obey me, everything will go great. But if you disobey me, I will let the people in the land conquer you. And that's what we see in Judges, right? The land is conquered. Israel is conquered. The tribes are in different places. They're conquered by the people around them. And then people cry out, and God raises a judge. And then the judge, delivers them. There's peace for a couple of years, and then that judge dies. And this cycle continues and continues. God raises a judge, he dies, and the peace is gone. They're conquered again. Everyone goes back to sin. And even the thing is, these judges even fail. At the beginning, we see great judges. We see Deborah. We see judges like her who were so on fire for God, and they really followed what God commanded. But then we get other judges. Like, you know, Gideon, he was so, God used him mightily, right? But at the end, he still, you know, gave in to these other gods. We look at Samson, right? Mightily used by God, but still, he was, you know, he was drawn by his desires and his lusts, and that brought him to a place where he even fell. So we see that in general that the look for Israel in Judges looks terrible. You know, we see great sin. And why do we see this great sin in Israel? It's for one reason, and it's the reason why humans have been sinning ever since the fall of man from the Garden of Eden. You know, in Judges, the final chapter, the last verse says, everybody did what was good, and other trying to say what was right in their own eyes. You know, that has been the story of humanity since the fall, right? Man decided he did what was good in his own eyes. What he saw was good. What he saw was right. And that's where we see continuous sin. And you know, now I'm bringing this back to 2020. And I could say we could draw a similarity between 2020 and maybe the judges, right? And just not just 2020, every single year, right? Where it's similar to society today, where everyone does which is good in their own eyes, right? If you just look at the state of the world right now, everybody's pursuing whatever they want. What is the truth? What is right? What is wrong? Nobody really knows because everybody has a different view. So then, how did we do in 2020? Did we love God, or did we do what was good in our own eyes? And I can say this here, that I know I did things that was good in my own eyes, right? There's so many times where I didn't do things that how God would have wanted, but instead I did things that I thought looked good and what I thought was right. And where did that leave me? Broken, without peace. And I think everybody here who's listening can relate in some type of way where, you know, in some type of way where they've gone in a similar circumstance, right? Because if you haven't gone through a circumstance like this, you're a perfect person. And we know those people don't exist. Everywhere, somewhere, we are falling. You know, loving God requires us to obey him. Loving God and doing things that we think is right, that's not synonymous. That's not the same thing, you know, because we're evil. We have that sinful nature. To truly love God, we need to realize that humility is essential. So then you might ask me, why is humility essential? We see humility at the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve are there in their innocent state, right? And here we see they have a full dependence on God. God is their provider. They look towards God. But then when the snake came with his pride and spoke poison into their lives, what happened? They sinned, and they gave up. They gave up their dependence on God. You know, like when you get emails, right? And like all these promotions and stuff. And then they're like, oh, I'm getting too many emails. And you go to the bottom, you click unsubscribe, and you click opt out of these emails, opt out of all these promotions. They opted out of the dependence of God. And they're like, hey, we're going to do things our way. We're going to go for self-sufficiency. We're going to decide what is right and wrong instead of relying on God for that. And they destroyed this dependence that they had, that what we would have had on God. And this desire to be like God brought sin and death. Why is humanity essential? Because we see it in the garden. We see it pre-fall. We see that's what God intended. Next, why is humility essential? Because Jesus lived in humility. I'll read Philippians 2, verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. What an eternal display of love. He who came to serve and save us. The Word became flesh, came and dwelt among us. Jesus, the meek and lowly Lamb of God. And I have even more verses that show Jesus' humility. John 5, verse 19. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord." We see this dependence on God. But only that we see in this verse the dependence on God. But only what he sees the Father doing. John 5, 41. Jesus says, "I do not receive glory from people." John 6, verse 38 says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John 14, verse 10, "The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works." And you see, these verses that I just showed shows Jesus' relationship between him and the Father. And it's actually fascinating to see such humility where he lowered himself. And since Jesus is our example, should we not study his humility? The next reason why humility is very essential today when it comes to loving God is because Jesus taught humility. He lived it and he taught it. You know, Matthew 11 verse 29 says, "Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." That's the same verse that says, "Take up my yoke, my burden is the burden is light." Following this verse, this is just a little blurb from that verse. But following it says, "This will be rest for your souls." Matthew 20, verses 27 to 28. "And whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." Matthew 23, verse 11 states, "The greatest among you shall be your servant." And we were looking at Matthew 5, Matthew 5, 6, 7, Sermon on the Mount in our Bible studies. We haven't reached the conclusion yet. But we understood that Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is kind of like a declaration of the kingdom. Like, this is stuff my followers will do, right? And it's quite interesting to see, like, the first and third things that he mentioned talk about being poor in spirit and talk about being meek. We have, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And we have Matthew 5, verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." We see Luke 14, verse 11, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." I always remember that verse because it was like in one of those VeggieTales, Larry Boy cartoons. That verse never leaves my mind. We also have John 13, verse 14. "If I then," this is after Jesus washes the feet of his disciples, "if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." So here we know that humility is seen in a creation, pre-fall, before sin. We see Jesus lived in humility. He came down. We see Jesus taught humility. And next, and finally, that I'm going to mention today, we see the humility in the lives of the disciples. So if we look before, you know, Jesus' ascension and the day of Pentecost, we have the disciples. There were times where they showed humility, but most of the time they didn't. You know, there was times where after Jesus had calmed the storm in the seas, they worshiped him. And that's just like a sign of humility. They're being humble before their Lord, right? But in general, if you look at if you look at the Gospels and you look at the story, the disciples were always so worried about who would be on the right and left of Jesus with the sons of Zebedee. They're questioning, they're asking so many questions. People are always so thinking, well, what's going to be my part? Where am I going to be, right? And it's so crazy. They listened to Jesus for the years of his ministry, right? And even at the Last Supper, they're still discussing who's going to be on your right side, who's going to be on your left side. They're still so worried about this. So they were not, they did, even though Jesus lived in humility. He taught humility. Even at the Last Supper, they didn't grasp that fully. But then when Jesus dies, resurrects, and goes to heaven, and they're gathered in one in the upper room, and the day of it's the day of Pentecost, we see a radical change in their life, right? We see a radical change, a shift in their attitude towards meekness and humility. And we see people who are just different, people who are just out there, people who are living lives of humility. They're being humble. They're serving God. They're serving others. That's such a radical difference. So we see humility, creation in the life of Jesus. Jesus taught it, and even his disciples took on humility. And I have even more verses here on humility. Romans 12, verse 10. Humility ties in with love. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Galatians 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Ephesians 4, verse 2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Ephesians 5, verses 20 to 21. Giving thanks always for everyone to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And the verse I mentioned at the beginning, Philippians 2, verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. We as Christians, we who want to love God, we who want to follow God, we who are called Christians, we must serve one another. We must esteem others better than ourselves, and we must submit ourselves to one another. You know, the humble man, a man who truly lives a life of humility, does not compare himself to others. And it's so hard in our current society, in our current lives, because comparing to others happens so frequently. But someone who lives in actual humility won't compare himself. Because in finding God, he lost himself. And since he lost himself, there's nothing left to compare to. I lost myself in finding God. That's the idea, that's what a humble man experiences. A humble man does not envy or feel jealous. He or she is fine when others receive preference. He or she, they're fine when they receive when others receive praise. And humble people who live a life of humility, they forgive others. When a brother or sister tries them or, you know, tries to annoy them or vex them, right? Those people in those situations can be seen as instruments in which God is using to purify you, where the humility of Christ is exemplified in those situations. Humility assumes the right attitude before God and allows Him to do what God does, to be all in your life. Humility, yielding to God His rightful place. When God is all in your life, when He is all, when you seek Him, and He is all, and it's none of yourself, but in every single situation, you look at your weaknesses. God is strong in your weaknesses. If you look, when it comes to doing what's right in our own eyes, if God is all, that's not what we're doing. If God is all that is in our lives, and He has first, He is the most, He is taking preference in your life, then you are not doing things which are good in your own eyes. More can be said about humility, but I digress. Back to 2020. Have we been clothed in humility during 2020? We can say that we love God, we love others. But is that a delusion? We can say that we're humble before God and pray, God, I come before you humbly, and all these things, but is that really true? Humbleness, can we display it in when it comes to real people in real life? Or is it simply just something we pray before God? You know, from the beginning of time, it's been man searching and doing what is good in his own eyes. Jesus came, right? And he's here, and he's bringing back that humility from before the fall. If you think about it, people in Noah's day, they did what looked good in their own eyes. people at the Tower of Babel. They did what was looked good in their own eyes. Throughout history, we come, all the people who surrounded Israel, the different nations, they did what was good in their own eyes, right? We see, even when I mentioned the judges, we see Samson. He did what was good in his own eyes, right? He went and found who he liked, and God did still work through those situations, but it wasn't like he lost his life in the process. And if you think back to the garden, why did Eve eat the fruit? Because it looked good in her own eyes. It looked right. It looked what she it looked like what she should have done. And in that moment, they gave up all dependence on God. Now do we see the problem? Even today, if we're not able to live a life of humility, we always look towards and we decide, we're the ones deciding what is right and what is good. And do we realize today the problem with that? Because that is in God's hands to decide what is right and what is good. And if God grants us 2021, let our walk be filled with humility, that we may truly, when we're truly living in humility, we may truly serve. And when we truly serve, we truly love. And let that be over everyone in this congregation, everyone who's listening. Let us serve and grow in relationship with God. No matter what 2020 was, the past is behind us. Let us move forward. God is making new things every single day. But such a desire to live in humility, it requires a special desire, special prayer. You know, that's something that you have to specifically seek. And I hope that God imprints that desire on your heart where you will seek after humility, to live a humble life, to serve the Lord. And let us take steps even now, for anything can happen at any second. Before I conclude, I'd like to just talk about Ruth, the book of Ruth. So we find Ruth right after Judges. And everyone here, I guess, knows, I might summarize just what happens in the book of Ruth. We have Naomi, her family, her husband, two sons. They leave Bethlehem because there's a famine, and they come to the land of Moab because they hear of food. They come here, and the sons, they get wives, Orpah and Ruth. And eventually we see this tragedy and sadness. The husband passes away, and then the two sons pass away, and then it's just Naomi and her daughter-in-laws. And Naomi hears that in her hometown, the people actually have food again. So she's like, guys, you guys are young. Go back to your hometown and get married again. Leave me. I'm an old woman. I'm just going to go back and, you know, live my life out in my hometown, right? And Orpah, she cuts. She runs away. Right? But, you know, Ruth comes and she clings to Naomi, and she says that one statement that we, like, it's a very famous statement, I feel. You know, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. You know, she says these things, right? And they go back to Bethlehem. And there, you know, they don't know what to do about food. And then they come to, Ruth goes out and she gets grain, the leftovers that were left behind in the Boaz's fields, and we see what happens there, right? Boaz redeems that family. Boaz marries Ruth, and they have a child named, I think it's Obed. And you know what's interesting here? Obed fathers Jesse. Jesse fathers David, right? And David is the ancestor in whom this descendant comes, and who is that? It's Jesus. And it's so profound that in the midst of Judges, it actually says at the beginning of the book that this happens while the judges reigned in Israel. In the midst of Judges, where everything is evil in the land, where everybody's doing what they believe is right in their eyes, where people are dying, they're sacrificing their children, they're giving themselves to so many immoral things, we have these people, these three people. We see tragedy in the beginning and blessing in the end. And what is interesting there is that even during that time, the time of the judges, God intertwines his purpose with the decisions of the people. And there's something, we have to glorify God for that. where God is working good, even in a season where everything looks terrible, where everything looks bleak, and society looks like it's crumbling. God is still working. And not only should we praise God for that, but there are some things that we have to praise God for. The music team can come up. There's some things that we have to praise God for. Even if 2020 was your worst year, or if it was your best year, there are some things, and I guarantee you, there is something that you can be thankful for today, on this final Sunday of 2020. You know, for me personally, what I could be so thankful for, one of the things, many things to mention. Quarantine brought easier exams, you know, at the end of the first semester. I felt like exams were easier because of that. You know, things were, had more time to do work and all these things. That's just one blessing in this year. Other blessings may be some people, they had more time to their families. You know, a blessing in disguise, maybe something we were put off from work, or we had less hours from work, and then, yeah, that's it was something very hard for us, but at the same time, we could spend more time with our families. You know, how often I didn't get to spend so much more time, so much the same amount of time in 2020 with my siblings that I spent in the previous years, right? It's like I see that we've really grown closer together, right? And, you know, it's so important to see your family and to be together with your family. And then maybe some people, they gain new opportunities. They got a new job or different opportunities arise to serve. Maybe some people were blessed in 2020, whatever that may be. There's so many things that we can be thankful for today. We can be thankful that God has protected us, that His mighty hand has been over us from everything that has been happening. He shielded us from the noise that is around us, and He has kept us till today. And we can be thankful most of all for what Jesus Christ did on the cross, how He came down and lived the humble lifestyle, a lifestyle of humility, where He gave Himself up, submitting to the will of the Father. He could have done what He wanted, but He didn't. He submitted to the will of the Father, and He died for our sins, that we may be in true relationship with Him, that we may be able to also live a life of humility, where we could once again be dependent on Him. I'd like to read just one last verse before I pray and finish. I'm reading from Psalm 77, verses 11 to 13. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? Yes, Lord, you are. None can compare to you, God. No one is as great as you. You are holy. You are mighty. And we wonder, Lord Jesus, Lord God. We are amazed by what you've done, Lord God, even in the midst of everything that has happened this year, where you have provided, where you have protected, where you have opened doors, Lord Jesus, where you have showed us truth, where you've brought us up in faith, Lord God, where you've made us realize things, Lord Jesus, where you brought us to a time of resting, Lord Jesus. We thank you for all that you've done, Lord. And we just worship you. We bless your holy name, Lord. There is none like you. None can compare to you, Lord. And we believe in you. Lord, help us to live lives of humility, Jesus. Lives where we serve others, Lord Jesus. Lives where we're servants, Lord God. And we know it's only when we live a life in humility, Lord Jesus, where we can actually serve people truly. And then we can actually love. Lord, help us to be real in front of you and real in front of others, Lord Jesus. We're able to walk this life as a Christian, a life in humility, where we can wash others' feet, where we can be forgiving, where we won't be jealous or envious. Lord, we give this into your hands. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for speaking to us, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for speaking through me. Lord God, that is only you. And we thank you. We submit everything to your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.